Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dalamore.
Thanks for being here with us for this 949th episode of I Doubt It Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse Dalamore, joined by the lovely, talented, and scholarly Brittany Page.
And I thought you were going to talk about maybe how I'm flinching to get away from the flies in the studio, and also it's my birthday.
I was waiting to get to the birthday thing. I thought you would be embarrassed by the terror that ensues when you see a housefly.
No, because
it'll... And not for fear of being bitten, but for fear of their grossness and germ-ridden nature.
Yeah, it almost landed on my face. I don't want it to land on my face, but it. I saw some meme. I think you sent it to me.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. I saw a meme that said, I think it was like life in D.C. in the summertime, and then it said... like nighttime hours, and it showed a mosquito, and then it had morning time hours, and it showed flies.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it is. I mean, as soon as the sun comes up, the flies come out. They're here all day long. The sun goes down, the flies leave, the mosquitoes come. And like my legs are covered in mosquito bites right now. They will just be eating you alive, and you have no idea.
Welcome to your glorious nation's capital.
So, yeah, not ideal. But yes, it is my birthday, soon to be your birthday as well. We have birthdays in close proximity. I'm the 21st, you're the 27th. So, very exciting.
So exciting.
Happy birthday to our fellow June birthday people out there. And yeah, we have a lot to get to today because there's been a torrent of hell. I think it's interesting that our previous episode was us talking about the aftermath of the Trump supporter who threatened to rape and murder us getting sentenced. And then we had a horrific, violent political assassination and then subsequent attempted assassinations in Minnesota during the day of the Trump's military parade and the No Kings protest. So it's been a terrifying time.
Yeah.
So we hope you're all hanging in there. We're going to start with a little interactive quiz, though, that I found on New York Times.
Why do you have a mischievous look that the audience didn't see, and obviously the mischievous laugh that they did hear?
Well, because of the way that you're looking at me when I talk about it. So this is from 2020, and it says, take the quiz. Could you manage as a poor American?
Been there, done that.
Okay, so we're gonna do a couple of yes or no questions. Everyone listening to this can follow along, or they can go to the New York Times article from 2020. It'll be in the show notes, and you can take it yourself. This is the first question. Do you have paper mail you plan to read that has been unopened for more than a week?
Right now, yes.
Okay. I would also say most...
And it's a credit card statement.
Okay. I think this is going to help the point of the quiz. I would also say...
By the way, full disclosure, I have no idea what the questions are.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of this. So right before I hit record, you're like, oh, by the way, we're doing an interactive quiz as the intro.
Yeah. So...
But that also could be just the fact that I'm a procrastinator.
Yes.
Which I am a terrible procrastinator.
Well, I think some of this is I don't get a lot of things in the mail, so I rarely check the mail at this point.
I'm the dedicated household mail checker.
Yeah, it could go weeks, and I'm like, what? Someone send something? Okay, so we're going to put yes. We have paper mail we plan to read that we have unopened for more than a week. Yes. 26% of Americans say yes, but in some states, failing to open your mail and quickly respond can cost you Medicaid coverage or food assistance.
Wow.
Okay. So this is an important thing.
Is this where this quiz is going? This kind of a...
Yes.
Doing normal things can fuck you mm-hmm. if you're poor. Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Something that you might not even think about. Right? Not opening your mail could be actually potentially devastating for someone who's relying on government programs.
Right, right, right.
Especially in the context of the tax and spending bill that Republicans are working to pass that would strengthen work requirements for food assistance and that would implement work requirements for Medicaid. So that's going to create more red tape.
Which are not there. They're not put in place to shore up or make stronger the program. They are there to create obstacles. And they actually cost more to implement these policies than they do save.
Right.
And that's empirically proven time and time again after study after study after study.
All right. So question number two, for everybody still playing along. Have you forgotten to pay a utility bill on time?
Yes. I mean, not recently.
You're like, of course. What are you talking about? And you're also you're multitasking. You're trying to kill the fly while we're at it because it is trying to land on our faces. What is going on? Why is it tempting us like this?
Question number three.
All right. No. 31% of Americans say they've done this, that they have forgotten to pay a utility bill on time. But if you forget to pay monthly health premium bills, you can get locked out of Medicaid coverage in several states.
Wow.
All right. Question number three. Have you received a government document in the mail that you did not understand?
Yes, in fact. Listen to this.
I saw the epiphany come over your face.
Listen to this luck, you guys. So the other day, we're going to put the pause on the quiz. The other day, I got a jury summons mm-hmm. for the Superior Court mm-hmm. here in Washington, D.C. I thought, oh, yeah, this is the first time I've gotten jury duty in the city here. Mm-hmm. Second time overall I've ever gotten it. Remember, I was on a federal grand jury. Mm-hmm. For over a year in Orange County. I was like, oh, all right, you know, I want to do my civic duty. I don't want to try to shirk out of that responsibility like so many people do, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm a great, patriotic, wonderful American.
Well, we need people who are willing to do it.
So those dates are coming up here at the end of the month. And then that was like no more than 10 days ago that happened. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, as part of the mail that I didn't open. Yeah. I had to let it dry because it was a crazy fucking storm here.
Yeah.
And so all our mail got wet. I got another jury summons, and I thought, wow, they're really beating down my door here. Like, don't forget to do this, fucker. You know, that's kind of what the... And no, it's another jury. It's a federal jury summons.
Right. Double time.
Double. Like, so this one's in August. The end of August, the beginning of September. What's happening?
Yeah, so that is definitely a government document that you don't understand.
I'm like a first-round draft pick of jurors. Like, they really, like, no, this is talent. We need to tap this guy's talent as a juror.
You did so well on the federal grand jury for a year. They're what like,
kind
yes.
Of, what kind of luck is that?
It is really good luck, I think.
Good luck for the defendant.
Yes. Well, you are a part of 25% of Americans who say yes about the same share of low-income households receiving an earned income tax credit audit letter did not understand they were being audited.
You just rolled right into the quiz. I thought you looked up data on jurors or something real
by
quick.
The IRS. I did not.
I went right back to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm like, we're back to this interactive quiz. All
fuck
right.
Fuck your dumb anecdote. We're going back to my thing.
All right. So I think this is the last question. Have you missed a doctor's appointment because you forgot you scheduled it or something came up?
Absolutely. Yes. Maybe the last time I had a doctor's appointment.
31% of Americans have done this, but missing an appointment with a government office could cost you food assistance, Social Security disability, or welfare benefits. So I think this is a useful exercise, at least to get people aware of the little things that can happen that can put very crucial benefits at risk, especially when we're hearing every single day Republicans talking about how people need to take personal responsibility,
right.
How they're just lazy, how they're at home doing nothing, how work is productive and good for everybody, as though most people who are on Medicaid don't already work, and the ones that don't are not working because they're caretakers, like there's legitimate reasons for them not working. And so we just need to kind of have these moments as reminders that people forget important things, or they don't understand parts of the process of the red tape that have been put in place, and that's largely intentional. And these are things to really center in the conversation.
And also, yes, and Brittany Page, yes, and stop taking the things that Republicans say at face value. Stop giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're being earnest and honest about the things they say, because they are liars. They are hypocrites. They want to hold people to a different standard than they even hold themselves. If you've missed paying a bill because you forgot, if you have an open mail, if you, what was the other one? Missed a doctor's appointment or an appointment? Of course they have to.
Right.
But they want to hold poor people to an impossible standard because they're poor.
I'm really glad that you said that, actually.
I'm fucking glad I said it, too. No. In fact, let's celebrate the fact that
God.
I just said that.
No.
Everybody?
No.
Can I hear it?
No.
I missed the button.
All right. So what I meant to say was that you are touching on something that they actually have data for in this article, which is they look at these mistakes across income levels. And these mistakes are common across income levels. And when you look at people who make more than $100,000 a year, when it comes to the unopened mail, it's 26%. When it's the forgotten bill, 26%. When it's missed a meeting, 26%. So 26% of these people making $100,000 or more are also forgetting to do these things, making these minor mistakes that could cause them to lose these crucial life-saving government benefits.
Right.
So you were correct. Oh, God, it landed on my thumb. This is... All right, so... We
thanks for coming along on this journey with us, everybody.
Oh, God. Okay, so I think we have some listener communication to get to, including a voicemail from Tommy from somewhere in the U.S. And this is a cop story because we talked about, like I said last episode, about the resolution to our case with the Trump supporter who threatened to rape and murder us.
Well, rape you and... he was just murdering me.
Yeah, I always say it just like so matter of fact, and I hope people understand it's been like, it's not the first time, it's been over a year, like I just hope people understand. I am taking it seriously, but at a certain point it just is kind of like this factual thing that happened that we have to.
I'm glad that you said we're taking it seriously, because I almost played the call just as a reminder, and I'm like, eh, they're gonna think I'm not taking that seriously, right when you said we are taking it seriously.
Yeah, so as a part of that conversation, we talked about previous threats that we had reported where cops were
dismissive dicks.
Yeah, and didn't take it seriously. And we're like, oh, you're really afraid of this. Like, people should be able to threaten to murder you with impunity. What's wrong with you? And so this is...
But if you look crosswise at a cop, they're, like, if an acorn falls from a fucking tree, they unload multiple magazines into the back of their cruiser.
Yeah, I was thinking...
But I need to show great bravery in the face of an assassination threat.
I was thinking about
Fuck
this
off.
Yesterday when I was driving to the hospital, and I saw a cop. And typically what happens is everyone starts driving the speed limit when they see a cop. Like, everyone falls into this, like, oh my God, a cop is within view.
Even below the speed limit.
Yeah, and the cop was just recklessly changing lanes.
Did a fly go in your mouth just now?
I wish. Then I'd have an excuse. Recklessly changing lanes without using their signal, of course.
I think that's part of the training, because I don't know that I've ever seen a cop use their signal.
If I do, I go buy a lottery ticket because it's like, holy shit, you know? Yeah. But it's like, why do we all fall in line and start, oh, we got to drive carefully when they're being reckless as hell?
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing. It's fine. You're driving better than they do. Anyway, back to Tommy.
They're steering back and forth across the road trying to kill those acorns. Scary fucking acorns.
All right. Tommy from somewhere in the U.S. with a cop story.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Brittany. This is Tommy from somewhere in the United States. I was just listening to your latest podcast about having the cop in your living room and you're a pussy.
All right. We're going to play a little game real quick. Somewhere, well, he probably doesn't want, since he said, I was going to guess based on the accent.
Yeah, no.
But I'll not. I know where you're from, though. I could tell from the accent.
If you're not afraid or you are afraid or whatever. Yeah, almost 20 years ago, I was arrested for something minor, you know. But I was in getting a blood test at the hospital, and the cop was sitting there, and he says to me, hey, you know, you've been very cooperative with me. I'm like, well, it's not like I have much of a choice, do I? Because you're a cop, and you've got extra cops that can come to your aid. He's like, yeah, I understand that, but it would have been a lot more exciting night had you put up some kind of resistance. And I'm like, motherfucker, I bet it would be, wouldn't it? That's just what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Need to start a fight with you, and then you call on your cop buddies, and it's five against one. Bullshit. Love the show. Brittany might be the best part.
Love the show. Brittany's the best part. Bye.
Tommy said might be, so.
That sounded definitive to me. I know a guy who used to be a cop in a rural town in Idaho, and he moved his family and took a job with another police department in a larger city in Idaho because no action. That was the reason he moved to a different town.
Dear Lord.
Because he didn't get a chance to be a cop.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's really alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to when I worked at a...
Like, wouldn't you want it to be a quiet fucking night when you're a cop?
Yeah, well, and they should also select for people who don't have that in them. Like, when I worked at the mental hospital in California and I went to my first training session, the trainer opened the session with, like, literally walked in the room and was like, hi, my name is, I just want to start by saying, if you're here because you think you're going to be a tough guy and you're going to come in here and you're going to abuse people and you're going to fight people and you're going to punch people, then the door is right there. Get up right now. Don't waste anybody's time. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your time.
It also wasn't, it wasn't a training just for people in your education level and expertise. It was also like security types.
Yeah, it was all...
Well, I just want to let people know it's not like there's a bunch of therapists out there who are just ready to knuckle up on people in a mental hospital.
Oh, right. Yeah. But, well, and people, I think, aren't... I think people think that because it's 2025, mental hospitals have evolved to be these places where everyone working in them has... like respect for and motivation to be respectful to the people that they're working with. And that's, you know, unfortunately not always the case. And until we have hospitals that are like walking into a Kaiser Permanente.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's something that frustrates me about like political commentators who speak very flippantly about making it easier to institutionalize people. Unless you've been in these places, unless you've worked in these hospitals, unless you see how they are very much not still, many of them, like walking into a Kaiser Permanente, I don't want to hear from you about what you think.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so let's thank our new Patreon supporters. We will...
And thank you, Tommy, from somewhere in the United States.
Yes. And we understand...
Speaking vaguely about where you're from, but also vaguely about the crime you were accused of.
Mm-hmm.
I would never say that you committed.
Yes.
Whatever reason it was that you got pulled over...
Yes.
While giving us immense context clues about blood tests in hospitals.
All right. Thank you to our new Patreon supporters, Ben and Lexi D.
Ben and Lexi D.
Jeffrey K.
Jeffrey K.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Melinda.
Melinda.
Magda M.
Magda M.
Javier N.
Javier M.
James John J.
James John J. Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Sage and tripped me up. Sage and Luke.
Sage and Luke.
Robert F.
Robert F.
Lauren M.
Lauren M.
John C.
John C.
Mimi.
Mimi.
Mary D.
Mary D.
Fergie B.
Fergie B.
Leslie K.
Leslie K.
B. Wildered.
B. Wildered.
Debbie R.
Debbie R.
Shauna.
Shauna.
Trong N.
Trong N.
And then we want to give a special shout out to a Patreon supporter who increased their pledge, and that is Insane Atheist.
Insane Atheist.
All right. Thank you so much for your support of the show. We appreciate you. And you can go to patreon.com/idoubtitpodcast to support the show. You can also please subscribe to our YouTube channels, Jesse on YouTube, Brittany Page on YouTube. Please also follow us on social media. We never do this, so I'm going to start doing it. At Brittany E. Page on Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram. Jesse is at Dollamore. Everywhere. We no longer use Twitter because it is a Nazi website, and we hope that none of you are using it either. And listen, sometimes people will come and say, oh, really? But you're still using Threads and Instagram? What about Zuckerberg? Yeah, exactly. Okay. And what about people will often comment this on YouTube. They'll like be in my community tab and they'll comment it on YouTube. And I'm like, what about the Google CEO? Google owns YouTube.
Yeah, you got to make choices for yourself. And that's the choice we've made.
Google CEO donated $1 million to the inauguration fund, was at Trump's inauguration, has eased.
Yeah,
certain...
but when's the last time he threw up back-to-back Nazi salutes?
Yeah, no, I'm not
It's a little different. No, you're arguing. You're fucking arguing right now.
I'm not making...
We're going to get into it.
I'm not making the argument. I'm telling people what I say because there are imperfect options. And...
Yeah, that's right.
I just... I can't do it. When Kanye West's song Hail Hitler is exclusively released on Elon Musk's website, when he hit one of his first order of business is putting Nick Fuentes back on the platform, like it's pretty directly a problem, and I don't want to be supporting it. So anyway, thank you very much for being here, and we have a lot to get to. How dare you?
657-464-7609. Of course, you can always email a voice memo from your smartphone to idoubtit@dollamore.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair? Would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Stalemocracy. Facing down pessimistic politics with realistic optimism.
So it was the 10-year anniversary of Donald Trump coming down the escalator and announcing that he was running for president. And
June 15th, right?
Yeah, it was the 10-year anniversary. And so this caused
Can you believe that's been a fucking decade?
Well, what's remarkable about it is when you go back and listen to him 10 years ago, and we're going to talk about this a little bit because paging Jake Tapper... Paging Alex Thompson.
Yeah.
You know, they wrote the book about Biden's cognition for people who may not be aware. Jake Tapper's been making the rounds comparing it to like weapons of mass destruction, the media's failure to report accurately on the weapons of mass destruction. And what else did he compare it to? He said it's like Watergate as well.
Yeah. A lady, you know, he went on one of those call-in shows on C-SPAN and a lady grabbed a fucking serving spoon and just ate his ass. Just fucking, you're such a disappointment. It was awesome.
So this is a clip of Donald Trump 10 years ago talking about running for president.
A truly great leader. We need somebody that literally will take this country and make it great again. Sadly, the American dream is dead.
Bring it back.
But if I get elected president... I will bring it back bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and we will make America great again.
So normally people announce their campaigns and it's like a very hopeful message about what they bring to the table.
Yeah.
And he's like, the American dream is dead. Jesus Christ.
I love that the rabid, unwashed, low information crowd, you bring it back. And he's like, I'm going to. And she's like, she stole my thunder. That's my next line. I'm going to bring it back.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, if this week is any indication, we know why Donald Trump did this. I mean, it was an opportunity for him to enrich himself. We're seeing that supercharged right now with they're releasing the Trump phone. A gold phone, mobile phone.
Made in China that they swear is made in the United States.
Yeah, I mean...
And by the way, you can buy the same exact phone without all the orange or golden spray paint and name Trump name on it for $169 on Amazon. And they're selling it for $499.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable.
You're right, though, about how he sounds there. He does sound different there.
Yeah, well, and even let's take a look at this, or let's... Take a listen to this. Donald Trump at the presidential debate in 2016 talking about Iraq.
Obviously, the war in Iraq was a big, fat mistake, all right? Now, you can take it any way you want. And it took Jeb Bush, if you remember, at the beginning of his announcement, when he announced for president, took him 5 days. He went back. It was a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. Took him 5 days before his people told him what to say. And he ultimately said it was a mistake. The war in Iraq, we spent $2 trillion, thousands of lives. We don't even have it. Iran is taking over Iraq with the second largest oil reserves in the world. Obviously, it was a mistake.
So
George Bush made a mistake. We can make mistakes, but that one was a beauty. We should have never been in Iraq. We have destabilized the Middle East.
But
So I want to say, when I'm talking about the difference, I'm not making a claim about a cognitive deficit that I think is representative of some sort of clinical diagnosis that he has. All I'm saying is he's older, he's slower. His cadence was much faster. He still, the content of what he's saying is not profound or educated, like he's always been kind of a bloviating turd. And so I don't think that is much different. I think often when people say, like, harken back to a previous time and they're illustrating something problematic, it is that someone had these abilities to communicate ideas and their education, and then they don't have that anymore. Like, they don't have awareness or a grasp on the fundamental topics that they're talking about. But I don't think Donald Trump ever had that, really.
Of course not.
Yeah, when we're comparing it, it's more like, oh, his cadence was faster. He was more quick on his feet in the past.
He's going through, and has been, the same exact thing that Biden went through, because Biden's 80 and Donald Trump is now 79. It's just, it's the natural progression.
Yeah, and people age at different rates and have different, you know, problems that come up with their aging, and that's obviously going to be different variables at play. But we also talked about the violence that happened in Minnesota. Before I get to that, actually, I just want to read Donald Trump's Juneteenth post, because this was pretty remarkable. He put it on Truth Social Juneteenth, obviously, on Thursday. And he wrote, "Too many non-working holidays in America. It is costing our country billions of dollars to keep all of these businesses closed. The workers don't want it either."
Oh, right.
"Soon we'll end up having..."
You know what I want? More time at work.
"Soon we'll end up having a holiday for every once working day of the year. It must change if we are going to make America great again." And it has almost 25,000 likes from June 19th. So these people are so racist.
A coincidence. What a weird coincidence that he chose Juneteenth, a holiday that centers around the end of slavery. I mean, there's more nuance to it, but, well, what a weird that he chose that one, huh? Oh, how curious.
Yeah, and I love that these people are so racist that they don't want days off. But also, the White House, they were asked, like, are you going to be issuing some sort of Juneteenth proclamation? Are you going to be recognizing that this is a holiday? And the White House said something like, Black Americans care more about Trump's policies than they do about, like, performative messages, and that's the reason that they didn't want to issue a proclamation about Juneteenth, when, of course, we know what the real reason is. So,
yeah, I mean, they're systematically deleting the contributions of Black Americans from Harriet Tubman to members of the military, firing C.Q. Brown as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs because he's Black. It's white supremacy. It's racism. And by the way, the press is largely ignoring it. It's not being covered in the manner that it should at all.
Yeah.
Paging Jake fucking Tapper.
Well, and again, even the political assassination and attempted political assassinations in Minnesota, I've seen so many elected officials react to this by saying that the rhetoric is a problem on both sides.
Yeah.
That we need to tone down the rhetoric on both sides. And I find that so strange, because there's clearly one side that has, number one, an entire conspiracy theory created that Democrats are Satanists who drink blood and
the blood of babies,
have sex rings in basements,
yeah,
and or pedophile rings in basements. And Even Donald Trump plays into this, where he refused to call Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, after this happened. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I want to play this expert, Cynthia Miller Idris. She's the professor at American University, and she's an expert on violent extremism. And after this political assassination in Minnesota, she went on to talk about like the root causes of what we're seeing when it comes to this political violence in America.
Before we get into this broader trend, I want to ask you about this attack over the weekend in Minnesota. We know that the alleged suspect there targeted Democrats and their spouses, and his list of potential victims were also all Democrats. Is there anything else about his history that gives us some clues as to his motivations?
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to see you again, William. You know, the history of this particular attacker included some very anti-LGBTQ statements and very strong anti-abortion stances, including language in a speech in sub-Saharan Africa that that depicted sort of gendered changes in the U.S. as motivated by the enemy, like the enemy has seeped into their souls kind of language. So what you see is somebody who is motivated not just to attack progressive causes or politicians, but also really saw gender and women's reproductive rights and LGBTQ issues as a kind of existential threat.
And is that a more common theme that emerges with these kinds of attackers?
I mean, it's so common that it's shocking how often we silence it or ignore it, to be honest. It's very hard to think of an example of a mass shooter or terrorist attacker in American history over the last two decades that did not involve some prior history of domestic and intimate partner violence, anti-LGBTQ statements, harassment, stalking. So everyone from the Parkland school shooter to the Uvalde, Texas shooter to the Maryland newsroom attacker, just to name three examples that often aren't included in that, had some history of gendered misogynistic or sexist actions.
In an op-ed that you published recently, you talked about increased political polarization as being a big driver of this violence as well. What does that mean, practically speaking?
Practically speaking, the biggest problem that we're seeing is the use of language that demonizes the other. And this happens both on the Republican and the Democratic side, but particularly using language like describing the other as evil, as demonic, as an existential threat to the country, to the future of democracy, or as the enemy within, to use language that President Trump has used in his campaign period of time leading up to the election. That's really the kind of language that can make it seem like someone feels like they have to take action. They're compelled to take what they think is heroic action or patriotic action.
Yeah, you're right, lady. We definitely should describe the Donald Trump movement as, you know, just equal stakeholders and really governing in the way that they see fit relative to the betterment of the people of the United States. No need to call them creating an existential crisis in this country against democracy at all. Yeah, it's a both sides problem.
I would be interested to ask her about that specifically.
And I mean, it was good up until the last part there.
Well, I left that in for a reason. I mean, she is an expert on violent extremism. She's a professor at American University, researches this.
Well, she's here local then.
Well, I respect her expertise. That's why I said I would be interested to ask her a question about equating even the examples that she gave there. She says evil, demonic, enemy within, and then she says existential threat. I think there's a difference between saying that someone is evil, demonic.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what those two things mean.
An enemy within.
And I agree with that, though.
And describing someone as an authoritarian, as a fascist, as a threat to democracy. I think there are terms that are accurate and actually important and needed to describe things accurately. And then
I think
there are words that are, again, like evil and demonic, that's kind of nebulous, that plays into conspiracy theories, that plays into
otherworldly stuff.
Yeah, that doesn't really make sense or plays into, I think, some of those conspiracies. And again, what she talked about was this thread that surrounds a lot of these people who choose to go out and carry out this violence. And she mentioned like their views, their bigotry on LGBTQ issues, their racism, their fear of race equality, viewing these things as an existential threat to their well-being. Yeah. And this kind of plays into white nationalism, a lot of the conspiracy theories surrounding white genocide and things like that. And again, we saw this moment this week where Tucker Carlson was challenging Ted Cruz about what's happening in Iran. And a lot of people on the left were like, wow, Tucker Carlson is, I'm like finding myself agreeing with Tucker Carlson. And I think that's dangerous because fundamentally Tucker Carlson is a white nationalist.
Yes.
He's a white supremacist. And
the reason the white genocide, great replacement theory has caught so much steam so rapidly in this country is almost solely because of Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, so anyone who's taking time to give him too much credit online, I think, is doing a real disservice to people who may or may not start following him and not know the full history. And yeah, then
he hasn't changed. He's the same fucking white supremacist he was.
Right. So Donald Trump, unfortunately, a lot of Republicans actually did what this professor, Cynthia Miller Idris, talked about that encourages violent extremism. They actually responded in ways that endorse violence. And one of those ways is Donald Trump saying he won't call Governor Tim Walz after the political assassination and attempted assassinations for various reasons that he lists here.
Have you called the governor yet or been able to speak to any of them?
Appointed this guy to the position. I think the governor of Minnesota is so whacked out. I'm not calling. He's a mess. So, you know, I could be nice and cool, but why waste time?
Because it'd be a waste of time to show that you have some empathy or concern about the targeted assassination of politicians in this country.
And again, it isn't even about empathy. It would just be about displaying to the people that this is not the right thing to do. But instead, he responds in a way that is like, well, he asked for this. He appointed this guy. This is all his fault. This is on him. If he didn't want this to happen, maybe he shouldn't have done this.
Why waste time?
So, of course, Republicans also responded by promoting conspiracy theories, similar to what we saw in the aftermath of Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, getting a hammer in the head a couple of years ago from the person who showed up on their doorstep and also believed conspiracy theories and was radicalized by the right wing. Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee from Utah, he was posting conspiracy theories. I think you can speak to this a little bit better than I can.
Yeah, he posted, this is what happens when Marxist blah, 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 with a photo of the ring camera still shot of Vance Luther Belter in allegedly him in the mask. I don't want to cover ourselves legally here, but I think, you know, we know. And then also another one where he had a side by side of that same image with just a normal photo of Vance Luther Belter. So it's
the
just
shooter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just sick stuff here.
Yeah, and that caused some backlash, which is interesting because it's not the first time that Republicans have done this. Like I said, the Paul Pelosi situation, but oftentimes in response to whatever right-wing terrorist is in the headlines, Republicans rush out to try to downplay whatever connection they have to whatever terrorist is in the headlines. And so what rarely happens in these cases is that they are actually confronted with the things that they're saying. There's this weird discourse and weird vibe on the Hill and in these circles where
is it my good friend across the aisle, my colleague, ugh, all this fake deference? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what is the cause of it. I think maybe, yeah, historically you're supposed to behave a certain way. There's a sense of decorum that they expect, and maybe confronting people for things is not part of that decorum. I don't know if it's a class-based thing where a lot of these people are wealthy people and confrontation is seen as like a lower class thing to engage in and not very polite. I don't know, but I think it's actually the source of a lot of our problems. And I think if these people got confronted personally about the shit that they say online, then maybe we'd have fewer of these problems. So Senator Tina Smith decided to confront Mike Lee, and this made headlines, even though she was just, you know, confronting him about the conspiracy theories that he posted. And she gave an interview talking about how this confrontation went.
Most people have been saying exactly that, raising those questions. Everyone has been horrified by this, as you and I both are. But your colleague in the Senate, Republican Mike Lee of Utah, in the aftermath of this attack, he posted two things. One, he said, quote, "This is what happens when Marxists don't get their way." And then in an apparent reference to the governor, Tim Walz, he wrote, "Nightmare on Walt Street." You were seen talking to Senator Lee on Capitol Hill earlier. What did you say to him?
Well, I wanted Senator Lee, who, I mean, honestly, I don't have much, I don't know him well. We have not dealt with each other that much. I wanted him to know about the consequence of his words. And I went to him and I said, you know, your message on social media showed the image of the man who killed my friend, potentially minutes before that happened. And your message was, this is what happens. You need to take responsibility and accountability for what you are saying and doing out there in the social media world. And I wanted him to hear that from me directly and not to, like, for me to tweet out at him. I think that that is important, that he understands, again, the consequence of what the impact that his words have on people who are going through so much pain and trauma. This is not a joke. And he needs to understand, over 7 million people dialed into his message on social media. He has a powerful platform. He should not be using it to spread misinformation and to basically make a joke of the murder of people, of public servants.
And so the confrontation wasn't even her walking up to him and calling him a cunt. Like, she just walked
up. She missed a golden opportunity.
She walked up to him and was like, hey, why are you posting these conspiracy theories? This is harmful. You should use your platform more appropriately and in line with your job. And that's just like a normal responsibility taking, holding someone accountable. And for some reason, it's rare. Why is it rare? It should be normalized. If it was normalized, we would have, I think, fewer instances of these people going online and running their mouths. If they knew that they were going to ultimately walk into that building and be personally confronted by the people that they work with, saying, why did you post this online? Why are you lying? Why are you being dishonest? Why are you using your platform to harm our communities?
It strikes me as extra shitty, too, because he puts himself out there as this mighty, righteous, Christian, Mormon, family man, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he just that same day, he was out there posting photos at the birthday parade with his family. Out here with the family at the parade. It's like, well, what if your family was gunned down and people were making fucking jokes about it? Christian Mormon family values guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off. Just, it's hypocrisy and cowardice. And, you know, he lies about how much his faith means to him as much as he does about his, you know, the threats for years about cutting Social Security and Medicaid. They're just liars. There is no, they don't comport themselves in any manner that's respectable at all.
Well, I also thought it was interesting when Senator Tina Smith, during this interview, talked about how Mike Lee actually responded to the confrontation.
What did he have to say when you confronted him with that?
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't think this is a person who's used to being confronted. I don't think he's somebody who's used to being challenged, and I think he didn't quite know what to do. I approached him from a position of respect and wanting him to understand what I thought. And he didn't have that much to say. What he needs to do is he needs to apologize. I really think that he should take that post down to indicate that somehow this was some sort of a Marxist leftist attack that causes violence is completely false. He's spreading that misinformation and he should correct that. I didn't get any of that from him earlier this evening, but I hope that what I said sunk in and that he, you know, as my mother used to say, words have consequences, and his words have a ton of consequence and he should own that.
I know exactly the type of person that Tina Smith is talking about here. Someone who is not used to being confronted and who actually is surprised when it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, those are the people who need this type of confrontation. And again, I'm saying she didn't attack him.
I approached him from a position of respect is what I wrote down.
Right. So come on. And he still couldn't handle it. He still couldn't handle being approached from a position of respect because all it was about accountability. You're going to behave like this. You're going to have to face it and you're going to have to apologize and you're going to have to fix what you did.
And minutes after this, by the way, he full on, I mean, short of sprinting away, it was as fast as like Olympic speedwalker speed, retreating from the press, asking questions about it, with his staffer putting his iPad cover in front of the camera so they couldn't get a shot of him. They're cowards.
Yeah, well, and listen, there's so much that goes into this. I mean, I'm also thinking of...
Not evil demons, cowards.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much that goes into this, including the ways that the White House has participated in dehumanization. I'm thinking of like the ASMR immigration videos that they put out where they, you know, have like the chains clinking on people they're taking into custody and, you know, things like that. And Kristi Noem is one of these figures that has tried to insulate herself from accountability. I mean, many people in the Trump administration, Pete Hegseth, Donald Trump, I mean, everybody pretty much wants to insulate themselves from accountability. And one of the ways that they do that is through force. And we saw that Senator Alex Padilla was shoved to the ground.
Or as J.D. Vance would refer to him, Jose Padilla.
Yes, yeah, so just sickening, these racists.
We're not going to get to that, but by the way, J.D. Vance knows it's Alex Padilla. They served together as colleagues in the United States Senate. He's just being a fucking racist.
Yeah, it's just, and like a child.
Not a demon, and not evil, but a fucking piece of shit.
Okay.
Let's get that professor on, quick.
Okay, so... Where was I even going with this? I don't remember anymore. 657-464-7609 or I doubt it at dollamore.com.
Kristi Noem.
Yeah, so Alex Padilla, yeah, he was shoved to the ground.
Yeah. Trying to ask a question.
And we're gonna play the audio for you, actually, because I don't know if people know how quickly this happened. And he's a senator. Kristi Noem knows who he is. And if she doesn't, that's also a problem, by the way. But she does know who he is, and he announces who he is. And
let me speak to that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You might not know, but on Capitol Hill in D.C., when elected members of Congress, whether that be the House or the Senate, when they're in the building, people know. They get treated like royalty around this fucking town. So it wasn't like even the jackbooted secret police of Donald Trump didn't know he was there. Everyone knew the senator for California, the senior senator for the state of California, is in the building. They fucking knew. It wasn't, this random guy. No, they knew.
Yeah, and we're going to play this clip for you. It's remarkable in numerous ways. So you're going to hear at the end Senator Alex Padilla stepping up to attempt to ask his question and almost immediately being removed through force. But I also want you to listen to Kristi Noem's words here. She's the director of Homeland Security, right?
Secretary, but yeah.
And she is in Los Angeles because Donald Trump, of course, has sent in the National Guard. He has sent
United States Marines.
He sent in Marines who have arrested people, and
a veteran who is seeking his veteran benefits while they arrested him.
And of course, ICE is wreaking havoc on the communities and harming people and harming families. And Kristi Noem has the audacity to come into Los Angeles and talk about how the federal government apparently is there to liberate Los Angeles. Listen to this.
Or we have a constitution. We follow that constitution and the laws that have been passed by our Congress, and we're going to make sure they are equally applied to every single person as it applies under the constitution here in Los Angeles, but also across the country. As our law enforcement officers have been assaulted, they've been pelted with rocks and bricks. Their cars have been set on fire. Molotov cocktails have been used. We have seen people throw bottles and hammers at them. We've also seen that they have been attacked and verbally spit on or punched or assaulted, and it's just not acceptable. The Department of Homeland Security and the officers and the agencies and the departments and the military people that are working on this operation will continue to sustain and increase our operations in this city. We are not going away. We are staying here to liberate this city from the socialist and the burdensome leadership that this governor and that this mayor have placed on this country and what they have tried to insert into this city. So I want to say thank you to every single person that has been able to do this. Also, I want to talk specifically to the rioters and to the politicians in Los Angeles. I also want to talk about specifically how many of our ICE agents have been doxxed for doing their duty, how they have been targeted, and how their families have been put in jeopardy, and that we're not going to allow that anymore as well, that those individuals who are purposely endangering our ICE agents and our law enforcement officers and their families will be prosecuted for what they are doing as far as perpetuating violence on them. I want to know that the American people are grateful for our law enforcement officers. We will always respect them, and that President
unless they're guarding the Capitol during an insurrection that was promulgated and incited and encouraged by Donald Trump. I love that she says, in the same clip, we have a constitution. We will abide by that constitution. And we are here in violation of the constitution to liberate the city of Los Angeles and the state of California from the people who elected those people. Like, these are democratically elected individuals who are there serving in their democratically. What are you liberating them from? Democracy? What is she? That's anti-constitutional.
Yeah, and you heard the Alex Padilla. You heard him say, "I'm Senator Alex Padilla."
Yeah,
it was very clear. And if we heard it in that terrible audio in the background, they heard it in that room.
Yeah, and also, they did a thing here where in the aftermath of this, they were constantly saying on repeat so MAGA could run away with this talking point that he was lunging at the podium.
Right.
Like he was being violent.
Absurd.
Absolutely absurd. He wasn't even close to where she was. She was, and also she's surrounded by security, as evidenced by how quickly they shoved him on his face and cuffed him.
Right. And again, this is a pattern of behavior. We saw this with LaMonica MacGyver, who's now facing charges.
Yes.
And they claimed that she body slammed officers.
Right.
And this is why it's really important to film the police. It's really important. I know sometimes we'll see these videos online and people will write these shitty comments in response to these videos and say, well, who was filming? Why isn't anyone helping? There's actually very crucial role. There's a very crucial role to be played for people who film these encounters because it prevents the police from being able to lie and it creates an actual record of what happened, okay? And cops lie so much they have a term for it called testa-lying. Remember, we've talked about it on the show. Go and look up the articles about it, okay? Testa-lying. They love to lie.
Well, also, look, how many times have we heard the narrative that has been presented, the formal narrative from police unions and departments and cops themselves, only to find out later once the body cam footage is released that it's just not true.
Right.
And it's because of citizens filming that we have been able to secure even the scant number of prosecutions against rogue cops because people just believe that they're telling the truth when they lie, maybe more than suspects.
So I'm going to read this reporting from New York Times because actually an appeals court just ruled that Trump can maintain control of the California National Guard in Los Angeles. So a federal appeals court late on Thursday cleared the way for President Trump to keep using the National Guard to respond to immigration protests in Los Angeles, declaring that a judge in San Francisco had erred last week when he ordered Mr. Trump to return control of the troops to Gavin Newsom of California. In a unanimous 38-page ruling, a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit held that the conditions in Los Angeles were sufficient for Mr. Trump to decide that he needed to take federal control of California's National Guard and deploy it to ensure that federal immigration laws would be enforced. A lower court judge had concluded that the protests were not severe enough for Trump to use a rarely triggered law to federalize the National Guard over Gavin Newsom's objections, but the panel, which included two appointees of Mr. Trump and one of former Biden appointee, disagreed with the lower court. Quote, affording appropriate deference to the president's determination, we conclude that he likely acted within his authority in federalizing the National Guard. What's interesting about this is even the, I think it was the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, maybe, I don't remember anymore, it's been a while, they said when the protests were first going on that they had control over them.
Yeah,
that LAPD. That everything was fine. And they had issued an actual statement saying this, that they had control, that everything was peaceful, that they had it figured out. And the next day, Donald Trump was ordering the National Guard to the streets. What's concerning about all of this, particularly this appeals court ruling, is now Donald Trump is saying that he'll send them anywhere protests go now because of this ruling, that he will send troops wherever they're protesting. And
Which only serves to squelch people's motivation to exercise their freedom of speech and freedom of redressing the government and freedom of assembly under the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah, and of course we have another yes man in charge, the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, former Fox News host, a remarkably scary and unhinged figure. Still, I would say he's the second most dangerous pick.
Yeah. Who would be first?
Oh, RFK. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because of the danger. He's not as, he doesn't carry with him the unearned arrogance on full display like Pete Hegseth does. But certainly the downstream effects of the damages that are being done are for sure greater.
Oh, yeah. To our collective health and well-being. Yeah.
He doesn't enrage me. We'll just leave it at that. nothing good was going to come of the next sentence.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
How does Pete Hegseth, how does he walk without, like, the power of those little spindly legs? They must be made out of some superhuman material. Like, what is Wolverine's claws made out of? His little spindly toothpick legs must be made out of that, because there's no way he'd be able to carry himself around.
So the, like, RFK firing everyone on the vaccine panel and putting in his own
weird conspiracy panel.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be bad in so many different ways.
But back to Hegseth.
Yeah, back to Hegseth. So he was...
Seriously, those legs, though.
He was called before Congress to testify, and he was pressed on many issues from various Democratic senators. Of course, the Republican senators did nothing. But given the news of what is happening in Los Angeles, Democratic senators were particularly interested in the lengths to which the Trump administration is willing to go. And further, whether or not Pete Hegseth would be someone who is simply going to follow whatever illegal orders Donald Trump decides to give, or if he's going to be a person who stands up and says, I'm not going to do something illegal and harmful. And this was, we're going to start with Elizabeth Warren, who was asking him particularly about deploying Marines and whether they would also deploy Marines to like Chicago and New York City, and would he carry out orders,
coincidentally only blue cities, by the way,
through the objections of governors and mayors.
Secretary Hegseth, if the president wanted to deploy Marines to Chicago and New York City like he did in Los Angeles, would you carry out that order even if the local governors and mayors objected?
Well, Senator, because Governor Newsom was unwilling to address that's protecting federal law enforcement agents in Los Angeles, President Trump had all the authorities and the Defense Department happily supported defending our ICE agents in the conduct of their job. They have the right as Americans to be able to do their job without being attacked by mobs.
I will protect
them in that process.
That
and if other states needed it, we would provide that.
I know that you heard my question. So you would be willing to send troops if the president ordered it to Chicago, New York City. That's right.
Well, thankfully, New York City, unlike California, unlike Gavin Newsom, is willing to step up and address the issue with their local law enforcement.
I will take that as a yes. How about if the president says he wants to send troops to 15 cities? Would you be willing to do that?
Well, Senator, I don't accept your hypothetical because
that's a hypothetical.
Not a real
one.
That's
the question. You're the Secretary of Defense. Would you send troops to 15 cities if the president said do it? Would you do it? 15 cities.
Again, Senator, it's a complete hypothetical lacking any context at all.
You're the Secretary
and I refuse to box myself in based on questioning on a hypothetical.
But you're here asking for $1 trillion, and I want to know how you're going to spend it. And so my question is, if Donald Trump tells you to send troops to 15 American cities, are you going to spend the money and send the troops?
Thankfully, we're spending money on securing our southern border, a way the previous administration abandoned and allowed 21 million illegals to enter our country.
Anyway.
So defending our homeland is a real serious priority under this administration, and we're doing it.
I understand.
He will never be fired by Donald Trump. There is no scandal, no incompetence that will cause him to be because of this right here, because he emulates Donald Trump as best he can. No apologies. He doesn't even attempt to answer any question posed to him by Democrats. It is very scary.
Well, and it's important to ask about the limits or where Pete Hegseth differs from Donald Trump, or is he willing to just be an endless yes man for Donald Trump? Because the former defense secretary, Mark Esper, of course, was one who did challenge Donald Trump, who went against what Donald Trump wanted. Remember the 2020 protests when it was reported that Donald Trump wanted Mark Esper to direct the troops to shoot unarmed protesters, to shoot them.
Shoot them in their legs. And it was reported by Mark Esper himself. There's audio of it. We have him being interviewed on 60 Minutes saying that.
Yeah, he's, again, the former defense secretary, Pete Hegseth's predecessor. So this is Senator Hirono asking Pete Hegseth if the president ordered him to shoot, to carry out an order to shoot protesters in the legs, would he carry that out?
If ordered by the president, I'm going to ask you once again, to shoot peaceful protesters in the legs, would you carry out such an order from the president?
Senator, as I've said before, of course, I reject the premise of your question and the characterization that I would be given or are given unlawful orders. It's all meant to attempt to smear the commander-in-chief,
again, considering
and I won't fall
that
for
the
it.
President in his first term actually ordered such a thing, it is not a premise that you can reject. He can order, do the same thing. So you're, again, I think you would just follow what the president wants you to do. Let's face it.
There's too much kindness to him. As soon as he starts filibustering, they need to say, all right, reclaiming my time, and if he doesn't shut up, shut the fuck up. You shut your fucking mouth while you're here. You are a guest of the United. I'm not joking.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not making it. You shut your mouth.
Well, you were putting fucks in there.
All right, fucking shut up.
Okay. So
you spindly leg little
So
we'll bleep it.
I think that I don't know what I think about that, but I do think that what is important is this is a performance, and I think that more senators need to think of it as a performance, and there should be some sort of sense that what he's saying is quite remarkable and quite terrifying to imagine, and that it should really be put into context for people who might be watching and in order to make headlines that the media will then report on and help inform the public of, because this is like supposed to be a downstream effect thing, because a lot of people are not watching C-SPAN.
Right. Well, also keep this in mind. that all of the same tactics he's using, he used during his confirmation hearing, refusing to answer questions because they were hypothetical about dispatching troops to American cities. I'm not going to answer. That's a hypothetical. I reject the premise. Yet here we are, after he rejected the premise months ago during confirmation, we're here now. So the questions that are being asked right now that he's rejecting the premise of in another few months will be there too.
Yeah, so it's really scary. And again, Donald Trump was actually asked, this was just hanging out in front of the White House when he was putting up his new flag poles.
The best in the country. Oh, wait. I mean, the world.
And he casually talked about the difference between his first term and his second term.
Long time. In the first term I had it, but you know, you guys were after me. I said I had a focus. I was the hunted, and now I'm the hunter. It's a big difference. But he was the same no matter what. Yeah, it is surprising that
I was the hunted. Now I'm the hunter. You were the hunted during your first term as the seated president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. Ugh.
Yeah, it's a remarkable victim complex, but it also speaks to his mindset, which again, I think is very alarming.
Retribution.
Now, again, I think that the media is failing in so many different ways. I mean, we've moved on really quickly from the political assassination. We've moved on really quickly from, I mean, we move on really quickly from everything that's happening. And part of it is just we can't keep up. We can't keep up with the speed at which all of this is happening. But they can do certain things to not give the Trump administration an upper hand. And one of those is to stop calling the tax and spending bill the big, beautiful bill.
Yeah. And at the very least.
At the very least. I mean, stop saying that phrase.
Stop voting for his nominees. Stop voting for his legislation, whether that be his fucking crypto bill. Stop voting for Charles Kushner to be the ambassador to France, Cory Booker. Stop advancing the agenda of this fucking fascist.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. So we hope that you are continuing to use Five Calls. We're going to put the link for
fivecalls.org.
They give a script that you can read of various topics that you may care about, and they give you ways to contact your elected officials. And I hope that you are taking time to do that, even if you are represented by Republicans and you think it is hopeless. It is actually more important than ever for you to try to organize in your communities, to try to push back, to try to ensure that there are consequences. Because guess what? Republicans are afraid of the political consequences of cutting Medicaid. I know that you might think that's not true, but they are. And there's reporting on it, numerous different reports over the course of a couple months now. They know that there will be political consequences. They don't necessarily care about the harm. I'm not saying that. They don't care about the harm that cuts to Medicaid will cause. They care about the political consequences for their own career.
That's what's most scary to them.
Right. And so whatever it is that the motivation can come from, that's what we need to use.
And you don't have to use fivecalls.org. You can freestyle it at 202-224-3121. Just call the Capitol switchboard yourself and get in contact with both your representative in the House and your senators in the Senate.
Right. So we hope that you're taking time to do that. We hope you're taking care of yourselves. And you can always call us. Let us know what you are thinking and feeling at 657-464-7609. Or send an email to idoubtit@dollamore.com.
We would also welcome your participation in helping us produce this show. You can go to patreon.com/idoubtitpodcast. Or go to dollamore.com and buy a t-shirt, some merch. We've got some I Doubt It logoed t-shirts and different merch from our respective YouTube shows. We would love to see you there. We love and appreciate you very much. We will see you next time. For Brittany Page, I am Jesse Dollamore, and this has been I Doubt It.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.